I lost my train of thought. I was doing good until then.
Quick disclosure, we just want to let you know everybody here at Darker with Daniel is taking every single safety precaution possible with sanitization, social distancing, and everything moving forward from that. We take the safety of our guests and everybody else very seriously. We're going to do our best to slow the spread of the coronavirus. All right. This week we have Brett Rutter of the Gregorys. Brett, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, man?
Fantastic. Sweet. We're happy to have you.
Yeah. I'm doing terrible. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Nobody asked you. Nobody asked.
Sweet.
This is already going great. It's great to have you, though. I'm really excited. I know you have a lot to kind of talk about. You've been up to a lot of different things. I guess, well, probably more so pre-COVID, but...
Yeah. Yeah, COVID slowed some things down. A few years now, I've been kind of busting my butt, like, outside of my normal 9-to-5 in music. So, playing music, writing music, trying to promote local artists, all genres, kind of have a heart for it. In and around Carlisle, Pennsylvania, but, like,
very cool.
Central PA, kind of broadly speaking. And there's, I found out there's so many great scenes, like... Gettysburg and the York and Harrisburg, Mechanicsburg, Carlisle. So there's each has its own kind of flavor. Mm-hmm. And so working with bars and other venues to try and book local original artists and get them seen by somebody.
That's amazing.
So
yeah, that's awesome.
Are you doing this as like a promotion company or just kind of something for fun or like?
Yeah, I mean, it started out something for fun, and it kind of still is, but me and my buddy who couldn't be here tonight and a couple other guys have basically put together, like, a pseudo-business, like, we're calling ourselves Non-Existent Records, and it's basically a community-focused record company. Like, our tagline is kind of like, we're not really a label, we're just really big fans. Like, the idea is, if we can get you recorded by our means, if we can get you... you know, onto various streaming platforms by our means, if we can book you at various venues.
Get you the exposure.
That's what we
want to
do.
You
have
awesome.
The talent, yeah.
That's really cool. I wish that stuff was around when I was in the music scene, because, like, that's unheard of. Like, someone in a company that's, like, that focused on the artist, because you typically hear the exact opposite, how, like, the labels and everything, they essentially, like, squeeze everything they can out of a band, and then once they're worthless, they have nothing else to give. Like, they just drop them.
Yeah.
They just get every dime out of them.
No, I like that. It's noble. It's innocent. It's just, hey, like, we're enthusiasts of this, and, like, if I can use my connections to help you, it's amazing. That's kind of a little bit how we got started ourselves.
That's great.
That's awesome. So how are you, so if you're doing the promoting business, I obviously understand how it worked pre-COVID, but, like, what are you doing now, like, post-COVID?
Well, nothing. No. One of the other things that I do is I've kind of started my own learning how to, like, film and, record a little bit, a lot of photography, and so... I run an open mic in Carlisle, and I book shows. I've got tons of media that I've captured from artists that I think are really promising. And so a lot of what I've been doing is trying to, like kind of organize all that media, sift through it, cull it a little bit, and, like, find out what I can still use. Stuff that, like, you know, I would have a band come. I was booking at Molly Pitcher for a while last summer, Molly Pitcher in Carlisle. Mm-hmm. And I had a really good sound guy there, and he would send me all the files. So I, like, had all this content. I would send the band, like, a video and, like, some pictures and be like, here, use this for promotion, like, free, just use it. But there was so much more that, like, I just didn't have time to look at. So I've got, like, a hard drive full of stuff that I'm going through, like, trying to find good video to give people. And I've also just been writing my own stuff and trying to, like, figure out the best way to move forward with promoting the record label and promoting the band. And it's been a good time, a good productive time of, like, reflection. Like, okay, how can we better do this going forward? Like, I can't go out and actually, like, do a ton of shows. But I can spend a lot of time growing, like, that social media print right now. And, like, that's important in this day and age with that kind of stuff.
You're essentially just changing, like, your concentration on, like, how you're, like, marketing yourself and promoting yourself. That's
using all your resources as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the goal. I mean, there's been a couple things. I've been able to keep up the open mic a little bit here and there as, like, a private party. So there's nothing official happening, and I have to invite people, and it has to be limited, following all the state-recommended guidelines. Mm. But even that's been enough to be able to keep in touch with some of these people, get a couple videos, you know. So working, like, as best I can, given the, situation.
No, for sure. I mean, I was literally just having this conversation the other day. It was actually with my tattoo artist. I was having a conversation because we were talking about music, and like my tattoo artist is in a band called Inner Turmoil.
Okay.
They're really good, but like I was talking about, it would just absolutely suck to have been like a band that like got together probably like, I don't know, like March, April of 2019. Like, got your foundation together, got everything good, got everything written, and you guys are like, yep, and you're like, we've got everything we need, and then bam, yeah. COVID hit. You put all this time, all this effort, all this money into it, and you literally do not know what's going to happen with the scene. I don't think there's a bigger way to take the wind out of someone's sails than to be like, hey, the music scene as a whole that you knew since you were a child doesn't exist anymore. Because you're just like, I'm just so glad I did it when I did, and I wasn't involved in the project, because like that's got to be just so like just shattering as an artist.
I think that like what you're saying is definitely entirely valid, and I'm hopeful that maybe it will kind of change things a little bit, because obviously with like more time through the music scene, things have become more normal and new and changed a lot. I think maybe this little break might not necessarily be a bad thing, kind of take some people back to the roots. I mean, take like Champ, for example. In like 2012, there was on a Tuesday night that place would be sold out just because people wanted to see live music, right?
Sure, yeah.
And then when they shut down in, what, 2017, 18-ish?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Like, they shut down because nobody would show up. They couldn't even sell out a Saturday night or a Friday night.
They couldn't,
The whole music scene was dying. Everybody was getting like very cocky, I thought. And... not everybody.
No, but I know what you're saying, though. Yeah.
But like maybe this break will take a lot of people back to the roots and kind of realize, like, not to be cliche, but it's like cliche.
cliche. It's the French version. Yeah. Cliche.
Maybe it'll kind of take people back to the roots and really like appreciate the. It's like what you never know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah.
Like I'm really hoping maybe it'll bring that back to people, and they'll appreciate it more, support their artists more.
Yeah.
Agreed. Like, I think you could have, I'm optimistic about it. I want to be optimistic about it.
The best way to describe
because for me, what I hope is like, was the music scene bad? Like, as a whole, like I'm talking like all the music, was it bad before? No. But could it have been better?
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But there was nothing that existed prior to COVID that could literally bring the entire music industry to a halt. To give the people that have the power, the knowledge, and the resources to take a step back and be like, hey, how can we do this better? And actually have the time to sit down and think about it and implement and create ideas to make it better. I'm hoping that's what's happening right now in this lull, is that the people with the power, the knowledge, and the resources are doing just that. They're like, this is what we were doing across the board. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was working. But how can we make it better, not only for the artists, but for the spectators, for the fans?
Yeah.
How can we change and revolutionize the music scene? Because I think if it's ever going to happen, it's going to happen now. Because, like I said, this is the only time the entire music industry as a whole has been put on pause.
I think, you know, it's never good. Like, none of this stuff is ever good, this kind of thing. Like, you know, people are losing money. They're
left
losing
and right.
Livelihood. They're losing business. I've talked to a couple businesses that were some of my favorite places for local music, and they're closing. They're, you know, for good, which is, it sucks. And so there's negatives that you can't get around. But I think it's better to be optimistic. And I think what you guys are saying, like, what I think this might drive is the realization, like you said, we take these things for granted. Like Carlisle, where I kind of operate mostly, it was okay for music 5 or 6 years ago. There's been guys that have been involved in it longer than I am that I have to give kudos to who've been busting their butts for a while in it. As I came along, it started to grow, not because of me, it's just the timing. I started to get involved as it started to grow. But there were bars that I would play before where they didn't want to hear my original song. Like, if I wasn't playing a Tom Petty cover, they weren't interested. Mm-hmm. But like especially last year, dude, the amount of people looking for original music was mind-blowing. And in just small little college town, you know, blue-collar area, which is great. But I think we took it for granted because every bar on the block was playing music because everybody could afford it. 2019 was a great year for food and service industry. So people, they're paying bands tons of money. It's great. Money that you would never get if you were playing in New York or Nashville or whatever. And then all of a sudden it's done. And what I think and what I hope is what's going to happen is that people really like that. And there's that hunger that, like, it's been since February, realistically, since we've had, like, tons of live music. And people are like, you know what? I actually really miss that. Like, I didn't know that I liked it that much, but I don't want to go just sit in a bar and you know, buy two pieces of pizza so I can drink a beer or whatever. Like, I want to, like, I want to hear, like, the up-and-comer. Like, I actually liked the fact that my town had an artist that I thought was better than half the people I hear coming out of L.A. and New York. And I think that's huge. If that hunger exists, then when this kind of kicks back in, people are going to come out and pay money to see these bands because they want to hear them.
Oh, mm-hmm. For sure. And, like, I mean, I'll be the first one to say, like, I see that all the time. Like, almost every day, at least once on a daily basis on social media, Facebook, Instagram, everything. Like, someone, like, at least one person's like, man, like, they either post, like, a memory, like, oh, this is this show, whatever. Like, I would give anything to do this again. Or, like, oh, I had to cancel the tickets that I had bought, like, ahead of time for this show. Man, like, I really hope this. I think that hunger is there for sure.
Yeah.
I really do think it's there. Yeah. But I really hope it's not a bunch of people just blowing smoke right now because, I mean, and you got to think about it from an analytical standpoint. That's the stuff that the music industry is looking at. It's like, oh, how many people are actually missing going in person?
Yeah.
There are definitely people dedicated to monitoring social media to see, like, what the response is to this.
Yeah.
And I just hope those people that are posting that aren't just blowing smoke because. If you're, like, I'm telling you right now, to any of our listeners, if you're blowing smoke right now, I guarantee, I promise you, you are messing up numbers right now that big labels are looking at and analyzing and they're making plans off of. So please, if you're posting that, like, I hope you stick to it. Like, I hope you follow through.
2 points. One, I think you're correct. I think that, like, a lot of people probably will actually want to, just for one, the social aspect, and two, like, a lot of people probably really will realize how much they miss live music and truly appreciate it after not having it for almost a year, if not a year, by the time this runs its course. And I mean, and you're always gonna have those people that are go to the beach and then, like, 3 weeks later post another picture of the beach, like, take me back. You're gonna have these people who do the same thing with music and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I was there.
But what you were saying about, like, covers and stuff like that really intrigued me, because, like, if you think about it, like, you're right, everybody just wants to hear covers. And, or at least
there was a time for sure.
There was a time where that's all people wanted to hear. And, like, think about all the covers that these people are doing. It's all stuff from, like, the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And, like, none of those guys, like, they would cover a song once in a while, but, like, cover bands weren't really a thing back then, from what I understand.
And you can make, like, a career off of that now, like, in Pennsylvania. Yeah. Like, you can easily pay your bills if you got what it takes and you're nailing it. Like, you can easily be a cover band and.
Yeah,
pay all your bills.
And there's no knock to that. Like, I do think there's value in that too. I
agree.
I'm a songwriter, and I'm a kind of like a slow, like, sad songwriter. Like, that's what kind of, like, just how the music comes out of me. And so, you know, my music doesn't sound good in a bar. And, like, I'm the first to admit, like, I'll go play at a bar because typically bars make more money and they pay more. And I'm happy to try and I'll play anywhere. Like, I love to play.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like, the people that fit best in a typical bar scene are kind of, like, you know, they're not intruding on the customer. They're more of, like, a background thing, and they usually sound really good. Like, I know a couple cover guys in the area that are killing it, and they are making money doing it. And, like, look, they're great. They're talented. That's just not my thing. Like, I'm not gonna probably go see that guy. But if I walk into a bar and he's playing, I'm like, oh, dude, you're killing it. Nice cover, you know.
Yeah. You explained it perfectly. That's exactly right. I could never put that into words.
Take Derrick Henry, for example.
Oh, yep.
Like, I'm not sure if you watched the episode with him. You know Derrick, don't
I
you?
Didn't watch it, but I know his stuff. Yeah, yeah, I've heard him play.
Like, he does amazing covers, but, like, that dude can write. He can sing. He can, like, do he's
everything.
He's so talented. We need to have him back on soon.
We do. But that's, you're exactly right, because, I mean, hell, driving down 83 and you see the billboard for Savannah's and XL Live.
Yeah.
Like, you'll see cover band names on there. Like, you have, what's it, Pantera.
Yeah,
which is the Pennsylvania Pantera cover.
Yeah.
You see Pantera. You see Dead.
God, I never even noticed that.
You see cover, like, big cover bands on a giant billboard on the side of a major,
they make,
like,
money, man,
state highway. But then you have people, like, and like I said, this is no knock to the people doing cover bands, but, like, you have people that are putting their heart and soul into original stuff. Will you ever see that name on that billboard? Not, no.
Yeah, it'll
not,
take a while.
Not a single day.
You don't already know the word. You can't bob your head.
That's
it.
Exactly, like, what it is.
I think people are just too afraid to learn the words to a new song. That sounded so cliche.
You're true. Not wrong. You know, you invest, like, as a listener, you invest a lot when you're trying to listen to stuff that hasn't been recommended to you by a billion people, and you're not what you're comfortable with. And a lot of people listen to music, and I don't think I'm this way, so maybe I'm a little bit of an outlier, but, like, a lot of people listen to music because they're comfortable with that sound. Like, a lot of guys grew up on country. They love country. Like, I love country. I grew up on that, too. A lot of guys grew up on that, like, you know, that, like, 80s metal scene. That kind of, like, that Pantera, that kind of angry, like, you know, just, like, angry at everything kind of mentality. And, like, those... So, like, when you... Like, Pantera doesn't play anymore. So, when you have a band like Pantera, like, I'm
that
interested
nails
in seeing
the sound?
Because there's an experience there that I missed, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the Pink Floyd experience, the Beatles experience, the Dead experience. Like, Bad Fish, that's a cool idea. That's different, I think, than just, like, you know, you got your binder of 300 songs and you're just going to play with your guitar. I think it's a different fit. Like, I'll pay to see Pantera because I never got to see Pantera.
Because that's the closest experience you're going to get.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Bad Fish is amazing. Like, I went and saw them last... May, I think it was.
Yeah,
like, they're really good.
The Gregorys are like tossing around the idea of starting a Creed cover band, so I don't know. Like,
dude, I should
kind of seriously.
I will respect you,
but like, I feel like there's a market there, man. Like, there's people that will come to see. Yeah,
dude, you get into like that bar that has a bunch of construction workers there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
I love that you pinpointed construction workers like.
Dude,
I love this song.
To be fair,
in the construction industry, these guys love Creed.
Yeah,
I know what it is.
But the thing is, like Creed does. Like I used to hate Creed. But if anybody from Creed's watching this podcast, like I'm sorry, I love you now. But you know, March of Mine is like one of the best guitarists of all time. But like, I realized like it was only because my idea of Creed was like what I heard on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I listened to like My Own Prison and Human Clay and I was like, okay, these guys actually low key rocked hard back in the day before Arms Wide Open was like massively popular. I was like, whoa, these guys were like actually like a metal band. I didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
Give them a try.
Yeah.
I only just heard it from my dad. My dad, and it was always like, with arms wide open.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
Like, oh, it's so over the song.
Yeah, exactly.
There's also the thing with like bands is like, you can not like a band, but also understand the fact that they're a talented band.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
So many people don't get
100%.
That. Like,
sure, yeah.
You
can put that line down the middle. It's okay.
Yeah, like I don't necessarily like Avenged Sevenfold, but like we all know Sinister Gates can absolutely shred.
Yeah, he rocks.
Like, I absolutely hate the Beatles. Hate them. Will never listen to a song in their life.
Really?
But do I respect them? Yes.
Well, yeah.
Because without them, we would not have the music we have. And I'm so glad you're able to say that. Like, yeah. Like I literally, if the Beatles come on, I will change it. But I respect the hell out of you.
Right.
See, I'm that
okay.
What
I'm with the line thing until you get to the Beatles, and then it's like there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just
get off my podcast.
not even Yellow Submarine.
I almost left when you said that.
Not even Yellow Submarine though.
No, dude,
it doesn't like
especially
it doesn't,
Yellow
you don't
Submarine.
Get butterflies.
No. It's okay, man. The guy I write songs with, the other guy in the Gregorys that I write songs with. Like, we actually had, like, an argument after practice a couple months ago because he was like, dude, I just don't get it with the Beatles.
I don't.
And me and the bassist are like, what? Like, how are we even in the same band, man? Like, and he's
I
like,
don't.
Seriously. We may, and he, like, to be fair, like, I wanted to just say, like, it's just because you don't know them. So I gave him, like the ultimate Beatles fan, like, these you have to listen to this stuff. You have to, like, read this stuff. Like, this is how, he did it all. Like, totally, like, props to him. He did it all. And he came back, he was like, yeah, I just not that into it.
And I feel like that's where I'm at. Like, dude, there is not, I've had so many friends, but like, you need to listen to this song. Or like, oh, check this song out. Or like, we'll be in the car and they'll put, like, a playlist on it and it has, like, and there is not a single riff. There's not a single chorus. There's not a single melody in a Beatles song that catches me. And
yeah.
I hate to say, and this is, I don't want to say this is cliche. I don't want to say this is like.
Cliche.
Egotistical. But cliche. but like, I mean, because I honestly hated hardcore until I learned how to scream. But like, ever since I had that appreciation for hardcore, dude, hardcore is where my heart is at. Like when you have that, just like that raw, angry emotion, like you can hear the sadness in someone and they're just screaming it with a dope riff in the background. I'm like, that's my jam.
Right.
Have you heard Tyler Carter's cover of Lucy at Midnight?
No.
Well, it's not necessarily a cover. He just kind of took their song and mixed it around a little bit. It's really, really good though. Have you heard
I mean,
it?
I love Tyler Carter as a vocalist for sure. Like, there's no denying his talent, but like, it's like the new song that I just showed you from Kingdom of Giants. Like, the beginning of the song of Sync, it's just like, it's just vocals in the background and the instruments are even further in the background and he's just yelling about how like hurt he is. And I'm just like, yeah, dude, that just pulls on my heart. And I'm like, I feel this. And then it slams into the instrumental. Everything comes up. Yeah, I'm about it. Like, that's what gets
me. It's like he knows me.
It's so funny because like that's like transcendent in music. Like, you're talking about it with a specific style of music, and I'm hearing exactly what you're saying, and I'm into that style too. But like when I think of that like emotion, I think primarily of like classic country, which is funny because like right, some
and
people are not going to get that.
You're
right.
Not wrong, yeah, dude. Classic country's really country, good. Dude. If you want to cry,
dude.
If you want to hurt,
yeah.
Country. 100%.
Dude,
like, oh
Red
my
Sivine,
God.
If you want to cry, dude. Listen to Red Sivine. Do any of you know who Red Sivine
no.
is?
No.
Any of you guys? Jesus. He has a song called Phantom 309. It's so, all right, basically what this guy does is there is some old, I'm talking 60s, 70s styles,
yeah.
country music like finger picking in the background. And this guy's basically just talking and telling a story. But it's still music.
See, yeah. I can definitely get lost in that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Dude, this is, it's the craziest thing ever. Like, this guy tells a story, and it's about, like, old truckers back then, how, like, trucking was a huge thing.
Oh, for sure.
We were, you know, just yeah. kind of coming out of the Industrial Revolution, and, mm-hmm. like, trucking was massive. He talks about how he was hitchhiking back home, and a random truck picks him up, and he's in the middle of, like, a rainstorm. And this guy, he's like, oh, yeah, my name's Joe. You know, I'll drop you off down the road wherever. And he's like, this is my rig, Phantom 309. And he drops him off at this gas station or a trucker stop or whatever. He's like, this is as far as I can take you. He's like, here's a dime. Go get a cup of coffee on me. He's like, tell him old Joe sent you from Phantom 309. So he goes in there, buys a cup of coffee with that dime. He's like, old Joe told me to say that old Joe and Phantom 309 bought me this. And the whole room stops and... Apparently, old Joe was a trucker in that area who died because he was trying to, like,
man.
Stop from hitting a school bus full of kids. Like, dude.
Yeah.
So, like, he was transported by, like, a phantom trucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, which is, like, creepy in and of itself. But then, like, the way he died was so noble because, like, a school bus of kids
like,
pulled out in front of him.
Like, it's not even scary. You're
so
just like, I'm proud.
Dude, yeah. like, that gives you, like, I got goosebumps right now
yeah.
just talking
yeah.
about
it's
it.
It's a story. The storytelling is, like, it's not, you don't feel disconnected from the story. You feel, like, super, super really emotionally connected
and
to it.
And the way they do it, like, you can envision it in your
yeah.
mind. It's insane. I would, like, absolutely recommend anybody to check out Red Sivine because
yeah.
he has other ones that, like, dude, there's one sadder than that where I'm driving down the road and I'm like,
yeah.
oh, God, like, man. Like,
and I'll go on record and say this. I've said this multiple times. I think I've actually said this on the podcast before, but, like, Christian bands, like, I'm not saying they're my favorite, but, like, if you want, like, a solid message, like, you want to feel,
yeah,
even if it has
guys.
Nothing to do with God, like, if you have nothing to do with God and that message doesn't necessarily have anything to do with God, that message is going to be metaphorical enough and relatable enough
yeah.
for you to find meaning
yeah.
in it.
Yes.
Because, like, Bean is an ocean. Mm. They're probably one of my biggest inspirations when I wrote.
Are they Christian?
Oh, my goodness,
that,
yes.
Actually.
Yeah. They are so Christian. And, like, there's the one song I cannot remember because, like, the album that I really loved, it was one of their original albums, and all the names of their tracks were, like, very unique and specific. But he says, I forget what the build up to the lyric is, but he's just screaming because they're known for, like, their spoken word,
mm-hmm.
and he's just yelling,
yeah.
and it's just raw. But he's like, I'll take my glass, he's like, and I'll raise it. He's like, I'll raise it high,
yeah.
and just screams yeah. it over and over again. And I'm just like,
it's
dude,
like
it just like brings
yeah.
tears to your eyes, and
Legends.
You're just like he's raising it, like, and yeah. he's like, you don't even know what that means, but, like,
yeah.
but he's
you're
raising
in.
It,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
and I'm feeling it,
well,
and,
it's,
like,
yeah,
and it's good.
It is, yeah, it's cool because, like, in the Christian scene, like. I'm in and around that a lot, and so, like, it's interesting because there's a lot of people that would, like, knock that because, like, how can you be a Christian band and, like, be, like, screaming and stuff like that? Like,
dude,
it's
easy.
The best.
Well,
it's so
well,
easy.
Well, for me,
Prada,
yeah, I know,
ADR,
dude. I grew up, like, that stuff was, like, huge for me. And,
yeah.
and honestly, like, you know, we're not going to get into this stuff, but, like, honestly, I think they have better lyrics than half the, like, poppy Christian bands I've ever heard. Like,
oh, my goodness.
More
yes.
meaningful, more doctrinal, more on point. But,
the
like,
Word Alive.
Yeah.
What was their one song? I'd rather die for what I believe
yeah.
than live a life without
yeah, dude,
meaning.
It's,
dude, like, it gave
great.
Me goosebumps
yeah.
right now. Like, it's so much better than any,
yep.
yes. even
any
like,
worship band I've even heard.
Even like old school Family Force 5.
Yeah,
when
dude.
I was seeing
yeah.
them like,
yeah.
live. Yeah.
Well,
that
dude,
shit was
thinking
crazy.
About, you read the lyrics to an As I Lay Dying record or a Demon Hunter record. And you're
yo,
like,
Demon
yep,
Hunter!
Yep.
Oh
my god,
goodness.
That's awesome.
Dude, Demon Hunter, so the
They were
song,
so good!
Yeah, yeah, and like, those guys are tight, right? Like, they weren't like super, super heavy, but like, they were like,
but they just
they
had
were
a
heavy
good
enough,
sound.
Yeah. And he was
yeah.
a great vocalist, and like, but their song, Carry Me Down, which is like a slower, they had like one slow song on every, they had like a formula, right? They had a bunch of heavy stuff
yep.
and then like a slow song. And that song, I think I heard it first when my granddad passed away in 2009, and like, I was listening to it, like, on the way to the hospital when he had just died, and, like, you know, it's rain, like it, cliche, right? But like it was raining. I'm listening to the song, and like that, because like that song, I remember that song. Like I listen to it all the time now. Like it just yep. keeps coming back to me. And you know, there was just yeah, they write because I think they're writing from a place of intentionality and a place of like experience. That's the thing about Christian bands that I think that why I like some of them so much is because I think what they're writing from, they're not trying to be fake. They're not trying to be like, you know, life is great because I'm a Christian or whatever. They're really just like writing about real life things through a worldview that's just different from other people's.
Yeah.
And like I think that for the Gregories it's the same thing. Like a bunch of us are Christians but we're not a Christian band.
Yeah.
But like we write music about grief, about love, about heartbreak, about life. We just have a worldview that's just a little different than maybe the other band that's writing that way.
Didn't Reliant K do that? They started out as a Christian band, but then they went.
Yep. Yeah, man. Yep. And they were great.
Yeah.
It's same with what's it called?
Amberlin.
Amberlin. Yeah. Amberlin's Christian.
A bunch of them did.
Skyhawk Drive.
For real. See that?
Sweet.
Yeah,
no,
dude.
I saw them live. I saw them last year live.
So good.
Did
one of the best bands awesome. I've ever seen.
Did anybody ever listen to Pillar?
I did.
I saw them live so many times.
Yeah, they were good. Some of those bands are so good. Dude, I always knocked Thousand Foot Crutch, and I saw them live, and I was like, these guys were awesome.
Skillet,
live.
All of them.
Like,
yeah.
They
dude,
eased
Skillet's
me into like
so
metal
good.
And
yeah.
hardcore.
Yeah,
definitely.
Over, yeah, for sure. Because I was like that. I was when you were talking about hardcore. Mm-hmm. Like there was a time where I was like, this stuff's stupid. Like why would you? And then a little bit of bands here and there, and I realized like, you know, this is the coolest thing ever. And
see, and it's like I have like I'm so grateful for the way that I came into it because like I made a joke, but it's seriously the true story of how I came into hardcore was. I remember, like, I was the dude that was still listening to, like, 3 Days Grace, Breaking Ben, Yellow Card.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I would get in the car with my best friends, and they were, like, they were listening to Devil Wears Prada, like, the first album. Like, hey, Dear John, What's Your Name Again?
Yeah.
And all that stuff. And
hey,
I was
John.
Like, what?
Hey, John, what's
hey,
your
John.
Name?
Hey, John, what's your name again? Yeah.
HTML rocks, dude.
And I was just like, they were, like, playing. I was like, God, like, what is this?
Yeah.
And they're like, dude, this is Devil Wears Prada. I was like, this is terrible. And they're like, what are you talking about? I was like, dude, anyone can scream at the top of their lungs.
No.
And they're like, no, they can't. And I was like, dude, bet. Yeah. I was like, I can do this. And they're like, okay. Like a year and a half later, and I did. I stuck to it. I started listening to it, and I started practicing in my car.
And then you liked it.
I grew an appreciation yeah. for it. And then it was like a year and a half later, my best friend, the one that I was in the car with, that I made that bet with, he was like, hey, dude, I'm thinking about starting a band. Like, do you know anyone that's like a vocalist? And I was like, yeah, I was like me. And he was like, "What?" And I got in the car and I showed him. He was like, "Oh my god!" He's like,
yeah.
"Where did this come from?" I was like, "Remember that bet that I told you? Like, I would teach myself." I was like, "I did," but like, I love this stuff now. And like, from that point on, like, I was in multiple bands,
yeah,
and like, I've never heard such raw emotion than in that style of music. Like, there's still music videos to this day, like Wage War, Youngblood. That music video will make me bawl. Every time.
You should put it on right now.
Like, I wish I could. I wish the speakers could pick it up. But, like, dude, it's so good. Like, I just, so back to the Beatles. Like, I get it. I get it. Like, people like it. People vibe with it. But, like, it doesn't resonate with me on a certain level. I will always respect it. I will never be like, oh, it's trash. It has its place in time. It has its place in history. But it's just not my cup of tea.
I feel the same way about Nickelback.
Talk, like, I'm going to go on record again. I'm just going to say, let's be honest. Let's all stop playing ourselves. Nickelback actually slaps. The internet has told you to hate it.
Get off my podcast.
All right, guys, so we'll be back in about a couple seconds, and we'll see you then.
You won't notice at all.
Not at all. We're back in?
We're back in now.
Oh.
Yeah,
we're in there like swimwear, baby.
Ooh, right, yeah. Okay. Sorry. I like it.
Do you have something to say on it?
I wanted to bring something up. We were talking about this during the break. Toby Mac.
Oh, yeah, dude. Heck yeah. I love Toby Mac.
What was the name of his rap group?
His rap group?
Yeah.
Well, he was with DC Talk back in the day.
Right? Oh, my God. That was it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so dude. We were talking about that outside.
I have no idea what is.
Yo, wow. If you want a power, like, look, DC Talk, Jesus Freak, that album.
Yes.
Oh,
amazing.
My God.
Amazing.
I had that
on
cassette.
Yep.
On cassette.
It's a great album. There's some great
songs
on there.
I don't have anything on cassette anymore
Tate.
Because I'm
what
not
was
a
his
peasant.
First name?
Michael Tate.
I had it on cassette.
Yes. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, man.
I thought you were the hipster of the group.
I It's just the mustache.
Man, that is like that is like the early days. That's really coming back to
I
me.
Started
with
DC Talk. Yeah. I didn't like Christian music when I was way younger. My parents wanted I had Christian parents too. I'm Christian, yeah. So
well, I think
but,
all of us grew up here Christian.
But so like I was really into like classic rock early, and my parents were cool about it. Like they bought me Van Halen's self-titled album like when I was 12 or 11 or whatever, but they wanted to make sure I had a balanced like input. They didn't want me to like just going all in on like one thing. They're like, hey, make sure you're balancing this out with like kind of more, you know, fruitful stuff.
So they don't want you to be satanic.
Well, yeah, that was one of the things.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
But like what, so like yeah, Audio Adrenaline, DC Talk, some of those bands like
Switchfoot. Casting Crowns.
I realized, yeah, I did some Casting
Crowns. Casting
Crowns, good songwriters. But like I realized, like because I was under this impression like the music industry just sucked. And I realized later on, we talked about it earlier, like actually there's some good stuff, and it's gotten way better. But in that time period, like I realized, oh, there are some good bands even right now that are good and they're Christian bands. It's cool.
I haven't listened to Christian music in like. Probably 10 years at least. So I wouldn't.
You
wouldn't would
know something
know.
Funny? You say that, but I guarantee you,
you
have, and
know,
you just didn't know it.
You guys know NF? You know NF, right?
Yeah.
You know NF?
Yeah.
The rapper?
Oh, yeah.
Dude's amazing.
Incredible. Yeah. He's Christian, and he only raps about his own mental health.
Super fire.
Like,
lyricist.
Yeah, no, I've listened to his music before.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was Christian.
Yep, he's Christian. Like, when he talks about, like.
Is he a Christian, or is he a Christian rapper?
No, he doesn't really rap about, like, religion.
Yeah, it's more about just, like, empowering yourself and overcoming your own like obstacles.
Yeah.
Like when the one intro on his one album where he raps about himself and then about his depression.
Yeah.
About like getting the shovel and burying a hole in the yard.
Yeah,
and
man.
Then you hear like the punk
dude
of the shovel hit. He's like, you're not so big and bad now. He's like, it's scary now when you're on the other side. Like whatever. And he's like, he's talking about burying his own. He's like, this whole time, he's like, I thought I was in a prison that you built, but he's like, the whole time I've been holding the key.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
oh yeah!
Whoa!
Yeah, it's legit. I appreciate guys like him doing that more because I think that's real Christian music.
Yeah,
like you're writing about real life. Like there's like this idea that like Christian music is just like him.
It's
the
all
church.
It's all happy.
Like, that's a part
and
of it. But the reality is like Christian people, anybody, any religion, people are people in this world. They're dealing with the same kind of stuff that everybody's dealing with, and like some of us get through it some way. But like, so you're ready. There's a worldview that you have that is helping you get through this.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. So if you're writing Christian music and it's only ever like super happy poppy, like whatever, if that's your thing, but like that's not real life.
No,
like, you know what I mean? Like
you're bringing up. So here's the one thing I want to ask everyone here. It's like when you meet a religious person, like, and they're like, they're dead fast religious, that, and that's cool. I have nothing against that. Like I'm religious. I have my own belief, but like you are either typically, and I'll say typically, you are either A, you were born and raised and this is what you believe, or what else normally happens to you to make you find religion?
Right.
Like a life-changing event.
You went through a very dark time, and you had no one, nothing else to turn to but God. And you find solace in that. You find, like you find a foundation in that that you can build off of. I've been there. I was born and raised Catholic, confirmed everything, and I was like, this is really hypocritical. I don't believe in this religion at all. So I disowned it, and I became a Christian, like a
denominational.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Christian.
I know those kinds.
Yes. And then even after that, I was like, I'm kind of like agnostic. Christian. I don't really know what I believe. But like my home life was just being destroyed. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to go to church. And I started going to church every Sunday and I started praying. And I'll just use this as a preface. And I'm not really saying this is like my preaching pedestal or anything, but I'll just be honest. If anyone is listening to this podcast and is like, oh, like prayer is bullshit, like, it's not.
Right.
And I don't mean to swear. I know you. Like, but I've heard that so many times. I have realized, because I've been the person that's like, I've prayed. I'm like, hey, God, it's me. Hey. And guess what? Nothing happens. Nothing happens. It's your boy, Alan. Like, what's up? Nothing happens. And I think there's a reason for that. I was going through some like hard stuff. Mm. Like, and when I prayed with everything. Mm. Like, I prayed with every ounce of energy in me.
You were believing what you were praying.
Exactly. Yeah. And guess what? I had my prayers, and I mean this. And like I said, this is not me preaching. Like, you believe what you believe, I'm going to love you no matter what. But I had my prayers answered verbatim. Hmm. Verbatim what I prayed for. I saw them come to fruition, and it happened. And that's what made me, I was like, you know what? I may not know exactly what religion is. It may not be some old dude with a beard up in the clouds.
Probably not.
But something somewhere on some plane in some realm of existence is hearing you.
Yeah.
It's hearing you, and it's making things happen for sure.
Yeah.
And I will never discredit that, because I can't. That stuff wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have prayed the way I did.
That's a good word. I think that's why I appreciate these guys that are right, like NF, because he's like, look, I'm a person in the same world that you are. I struggle with depression. I struggle with grief. I struggle with heartbreak. The only difference is I believe in X, you know, and I think and that has changed me and helped me push through it. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have that, you know, again, like you said, that's on you. But I think there's a real like helpfulness in that, mm-hmm. when you're like, hey, yeah, I'm religious, I'm a Christian, whatever. But I write just like you do, man. Like that's on the video I just showed you. Like that's my granddad dying of cancer super early, and me not sure how to process it. And that's like, it's, you know, I would say I'm a Christian, but I'm not sitting there like everything's happy. It's like, no, yeah. I'm sad. Like that sucks. I understand that there's purpose in all this. I understand that there's goodness and there's love and there's direction.
There's reason.
But that doesn't mean like, you can't live in this world and act like there's no grief and there's no sorrow, because it's not true.
It's ignorance. Yeah. That's pure ignorance.
And that's where that good writing comes from. That's the hardcore like emotion you're talking about, the country that we're talking about. It's because people write about real world things, the storytelling, like you feel that on a level that is different than just a couple notes and a couple words.
And I mean, and I'm not trying to make this about me, but like when we were talking about this during the break, when I showed you my video and everything, when I wrote that song, like I avoided, like I knew I wanted to write the song, but at the same token, like knowing I wanted to write the song, I avoided writing the lyrics because like I knew what kind of emotions it was going to evoke. And when it came time, like, oh, I didn't even have the lyrics finished when we went to record. We got down all the instrumental and everything, and then they were like, hey, it's time to lay down the lyrics. And I was like,
yeah,
like, damn. Like, and I had to go lock myself in a room for 2 hours because I had to finish these. And I had to get myself like in the zone, and I came out, and he's like, are you good? I was like, you need to hit record like right now.
Yeah.
And that's when I did it. And like, I did, like I cried during one point because like I was avoiding putting myself in that mental and emotional state that I was trying to write from, because I knew it was going to suck. It was going to hurt. There's going to be at least a multiple day like recovery just from writing the song. But I had to do it, because if I didn't, the song wasn't going to sound right. And like, that's one thing I'll give credit to musicians, like where credit's due. Some of these musicians, they write similar, and even you, like with your grandfather. People, how do I want to word this? Because I've had so many people, and this is not me being like conceited or cocky, but I've had multiple people come up to me where they're like, hey man, like that really helped me. Like, hey, like I really appreciated that. Like I really enjoyed that. And they just want that because they're the consumer. And if you look at this as a business, they're the consumer, you're the supplier. And the consumers, they want this, but like you do not understand the toll that takes on the artist to continuously keep kind of putting it makes perfect sense why some artists and musicians, they snap. Mm-hmm. They lose it because they're trying to meet that demand. They're trying to give that emotion, but they're just staying in this dark, depressive place mentally to give this content. And it just breaks them, because you can only take so much as a human. Your spirit can only take so much. It just it's hard. And I only did that for one song.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, like I could not make a career off of this by any means.
Right. It's gotta be tough. Like, I'm a sucker for sad songs, and like, I mean, there's some crazy things out there, and it's like, man, this person really, like, they really went through some stuff in their day, and like, then they had to go through writing a song about it and then being famed for that song then as well. Right. And I mean, it's really crazy.
Like, imagine writing a song about like the hardest part of your life, and you hope it does well. I mean, that's what you're doing. What if it sucks? But like, here's the dual-edged sword. Like, you hope it works because that's why you wrote it. Yeah. You want it to work. You want it to make money. That's what it is. Yeah. But then imagine it being like, that's like your number one hit, and it goes platinum, and it's on the radio all the time, and you have to keep hearing
kind that. Of like Pumped Up Kicks.
Yeah. I was going to say like the Gregory's, actually, like the Pier. I mean, like people, you know, it's on the radio all the time, and that's not really.
You guys are on the radio?
No. Not really.
I was about to be like real hyped. I was like, yo, congratulations.
That's awesome. I don't, yeah. Sorry, that's awesome.
Yeah. But like, yeah, like, just imagine like being someone like as big as like Chris Brown. Like, let's, whatever. Chris Brown writes a song about like the most painful part of his life. And
it's everywhere.
Bam. Number one hit. Yeah. And you're like every 30 seconds on every radio station.
And
you're
everybody's
like,
just drinking to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And
this is
like
a good beat, man.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
this is great. Yeah.
I just want to crawl into a ball and die, because like, I hear it all the time.
Talking like, I think this is part of why me and my buddies in the Non-Existent Records, like, we've gotten so, like, we've realized, so all of us have all been in and out of bands too. The one guy is in a bunch of crappy like pop punk bands back in the day, The other guys is in some current bands, Promise Breaker being one of them.
Promise Breaker.
Yeah,
love you,
awesome.
Tyler.
Yeah.
Wait,
so
you're working with Tyler?
Well, I work with Tyler a little bit, but Jake, the drummer for Promise Breaker,
right,
he
yeah,
produced
yeah.
my EP. He did my music video. He plays keys and drums on the record. Like, Jake's one of the most like versatile musicians in Central Pennsylvania. Like, he's amazing.
Oh, for sure.
And a songwriter. If you don't know, he's got a project called Rough Nights. If you go to on Spotify and look up Rough Nights, you're gonna find some of the coolest, kind of like alternative pop, a little bit of a punk edge to it. Like, dude, he wrote and recorded everything, played everything. It's amazing. It's,
what?
A, it's like 15 songs or something like that.
I'm gonna
so
look that up. Then
it's really good. Definitely. But like, we realized from all of our work in music, and none of us, Jake was the closest out of all of us to being like semi-professional. Like, Jake played with Young and Heartless for a while.
Yeah.
And like, so, but like, we realized that we're all just like 9-to-5ers who love the music scene. We got families, we got whatever. And but we realized that like, you don't have to like go to LA or go see Green Day. I love Green Day, but go see Green Day in Hershey Stadium to like see the best music.
God, no.
Or the best songwriters. The reality is, some of these guys, that better than you'll ever hear, especially in the songwriting world, like you can get technically better at guitar and like drum, mm-hmm. but especially in the songwriting world, because of experiences and the like just innate ability to like tell a story and communicate through words and music,
mm-hmm.
those people write down the road from you. And we realize like that, so that's part of what this whole community focused mission, like, we're not getting paid for this, mm-hmm. but I realized listening to some of these bands, there's guys I could just rattle. I mean, there's just, you know, the Nick Staver is like Aaron Getchell, Vince Yarnell from Rivers back in the day. Like, some of these guys, none of them are professional musicians, but I listen to their songs and I'm like, dude, this is one of the best records I've ever heard. Nobody may ever hear it, but like, that's part of where the drive comes from. Is like, if I could get somebody through like down the tree of my connections to hear this and say like, who, like, what the heck is going on in Carlisle? Because like, or Central PA, like that happened, right? Like that happened in Lancaster.
Oh,
right?
For sure.
Like people realize like, what the heck is going on? Who, August Burns Red, Texas in July? Like,
yeah.
what is going on in
and
Central
this
PA?
Farmland,
the, yeah,
middle of nowhere,
right? And so, yeah. and we're yeah. close enough, like that. Like, realistically, there are people. You know, that could now, like, that's not my end goal. Is not like, I want to make people famous and make money. My end goal is like, I just want somebody else to hear this. Like, I know this dude, he put out a record, he's dropping money, he's playing. Like, if you like music, if you like good songwriting, you don't need, like, Taylor Swift's new album is great. You don't need to listen to it. You listen to Joe Blow from Gettysburg, because his new album is really, really good.
Yeah. yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of where the heart of it is.
It's like when you hear like that local artist and you're like, how is this person not famous? Like,
yeah.
this is a hit song. It absolutely
yeah.
like Evie.
I was just going to
say
that.
Yes,
Evie.
She's great.
Evie's
great talent.
Evie's out there writing bangers. Like,
bangers. Like, if the right person heard her, she would easily be like a
yeah,
platinum
yeah.
seller
yeah.
right now.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
100%.
Well,
Evie,
you
if you hear this,
she's amazing.
We're all behind you.
She's got a new single coming out, actually, against next week.
Yeah, she just tagged me in.
Yeah,
I'm really excited to hear it.
You guys know Jordan Trevino, Hot Jam Factory? You familiar with Hot Jam?
I've heard of it, yeah.
I played with Hot Jam Factory for a while. Yeah, I'm repping.
Repping it
yeah.
right now.
Hey.
So
I remember listening to your guys' album, and it would, like, Sam, my sister, put it on.
Yeah,
the
that's
bar,
right, yeah.
And she was like, oh, yeah, this is Brett's band. And I was like,
yeah,
dude, I like this. And this
I didn't,
back when I was like, big metal, only
yeah,
metal, and
yeah.
that came on. You guys had, like, a very, like,
this experiment, like, art rock, like yeah.
There was,
funky?
Like, there was blues, there was jazz,
yeah.
there was...
That's Jordan, man. Yeah, that's Jordan. Like, I wasn't even really writing a ton then. I was like, he would give me a song and I would help write the bass and the harmony, because that's what I did, right? Mm. But even this, like, if you look up Hot Jam Factory anywhere, I mean, Jordan, I honestly think, and that's not just because he's a buddy, not just because like I played with him and I can say like, oh, I played with him. But like, Jordan Trevino is like, this is. Do you guys know, you know Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys? You guys follow any of the Beach Boys stuff?
I used to listen to the Beach Boys. No, it's okay. I like the Beach Boys.
Read anything about Brian Wilson. Listen to some of his solo stuff. The dude was, if you go back into the 60s, like, the dude was like the Beethoven of his day. Like, people were like, how in the world? He had some of the best studio musicians in the world playing with him, and they're like, this kid's like 20 years old. How's he writing this stuff? That's Jordan. Like, the things that Jordan, if you listen to a Hot Jam Factory record, it doesn't sound like anything else. They're in a league of their own. And they're in Harrisburg. And like people outside of like maybe like a little bit of the East Coast, and they play in Brooklyn a lot. But like, other than that, nobody knows who Hot Jam Factory is. But like, I would put a Hot Jam Factory record with any other kind of like off the wall like alternative band or like kind of art rock band. Like, they are that good.
They're extremely talented.
Yeah, and
they
so
have been for 15 years.
Right, and is so like
15 years,
something
now?
Like that. I mean, I was playing with him in 2010. So
okay,
they're getting close.
At least,
yeah,
at least 10.
Yeah, 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 and they're
that's
amazing.
Insane.
Yeah,
I've never been in a band that even lasts that long. Like,
I know,
the longest
I know,
band
right?
was like 4 years for me.
Oh my god! Yeah, like
yeah.
I remember you guys being extremely talented and just having like a lot of really good sounds.
The thing that sets him apart, and I'm noticing this with more guys too, and actually with especially with Tyler and Jake from Promise Breaker, like I'm realizing that the people that are kind of just stuck in their genre they can be really good, and that's great. Like Jordan listens to everything. Jordan's influences come from everywhere. Like Jordan has. You know, we share like songs back and forth with each other.
I
understand
that. Like my hat goes off to every musician that can do that. That can
dude.
Pull from every influence.
He's like,
I can only write, and I single myself out. Like, I can only write hardcore.
Really?
And people are like, yeah, but people are like, well, I can dabble in other ones, but like primarily hardcore. But like he's saying, this Jordan guy, I'm gonna listen to this. I'm gonna listen to this.
Oh yeah, dude.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. I can combine this here, and it sounds completely different. And I'm like,
I remember being able.
I don't
like,
how you do
he
that.
Would tell me how good Taylor Swift was when I was in. This is like 2011, and I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, this is when I was really into hardcore. I'm like, dude, like Taylor Swift sucks, okay? Mm-hmm. And then like, and he's like, no, dude, like some of, but I know him. Like, his music's amazing. I love playing it, and I've like matured a little bit to the point where I'm like, you know what? Like, as far as songwriting goes, like maybe like same thing with the Beatles, but like. Like, Taylor Swift writes a lot of good songs.
Sure,
like,
it's bangers.
A lot of good songs.
Yeah.
I can't really say anything because I made a Facebook status the other day. It said, just when I thought 2020 couldn't get worse, Taylor Swift dropped a new album.
Have you heard it, though?
Yeah, and
I've heard it's
like
really
it.
Really?
Good.
I really like
it. Did she write it, though?
Well, so here's the thing about Taylor Swift. I don't know what she's doing now, but her claim to fame has always been she's written everything. Like,
yes.
She writes all her stuff.
Here's
yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, her last two albums, not that I listened to her, like, avidly, it just did not sound like her.
All I'm going to say
is... I don't
know.
That's a good question.
What Taylor Swift is... Don't you ever, ever talk shit on Shake It Off.
That's a good song.
That I am not even ashamed to admit that like I jammed that song so many times.
That's
I was
a good
like
song.
I was like
yeah.
I stayed out too late. Yeah. I was like hell yeah. I was like yeah, I do.
The thing is like most people that are like you know, like, this song sucks or whatever. It's like, yeah, but you couldn't write a melody like that.
Not at
like,
all.
No, you're right. You're right. Like, yeah. I couldn't do that. Like, that's amazing.
Like, it was so good. And, like, I'll be honest, Taylor, my girl, if you're listening, if you're watching right now, I will want, God.
Dude, she'll break up with you. She needs another album.
Yeah.
She'll break
Look,
up with
I've
you.
Okay, yeah. So I've always said this. I've always
said,
like,
she's still
I
young,
will,
man. She's got a lot of music to write.
I will either do one of two
she's
things. One of two. I know.
Easy
I
album.
Saw her before she was... Taylor, I saw when she was like, I'm just Taylor. I saw her then. I got to talk to her, and then she exploded. Taylor,
does she remember?
My girl, homie.
She doesn't remember.
If you ever wanna, you know what? One of two things is gonna happen. I'm either gonna love you, appreciate you, respect you exactly the way you deserve, and then guess what? I get to be married to Taylor Swift. But if that doesn't work out, I'm gonna break your heart so bad. I'm not getting a song. I'm getting a fucking album.
All right,
I mean,
yeah, but she's
gonna
make millions.
Can we have the Taylor Swift conversation? Can we have the Taylor Swift conversation?
What's that?
Do we really think that she's had her like? I'm not trying to sound original here because this has definitely been a meme, but like, she's definitely got to be a
thing.
Part of the problem. At
okay,
this
so
point now.
Okay,
like,
here's my
that many
yeah.
heartbreaks.
Here's my Taylor Swift theory. I think she's just like I think. I assume the best of everybody. Okay,
yeah,
that's
okay.
my that's my
yeah.
first impression. Like, I assume the best. So with somebody like Taylor Swift, who's like we, it's not just you know hearsay. She writes about real relationships, and there's obviously been a lot of real relationships. But to be honest, like I think she's just like she's dating these guys and thinking like this is what we do. I'm in Hollywood. I'm gonna date this guy. Maybe it becomes marriage. Maybe like everybody else does. Like a lot of people just date. And they're not going to get married, whatever. Except for like, she's also a good songwriter and she's famous. So it's like, I don't think she's like seeking out dudes. Like, okay, I'm going to break up with this guy and like write a song. I think it's just like, look, she writes off life experiences.
No, but
she has a lot of them.
I'm saying like, what if she's just like kind of a bitch?
Well, she might be. She might be.
What? So I'm kind of going off yours. I think because I've had this conversation multiple times too, where I think realistically, if you look back, it's not like she was raised by like a family that like. Had like a legacy like in the industry. She is a self-made artist that, and I think
her
she
parents
got
are millionaires
because of her.
No, prior millionaires.
Oh, okay. Whatever,
and here's the thing. Here's
whatever,
the thing.
You're
millionaires. I do need to preface that. That does not bother me. Like,
no,
because people are always like, "Oh, Post Malone's parents are rich." I'm like, I don't care.
Here's the thing.
He's still out there writing
bangers.
Right. You can be rich. You can have all the you can have all the resources that you want, like from your family. But she made herself an artist, and she was thrust into an industry at a young age. And I think that does a lot to it's very impressionable to someone at that age. She's like, you become famous overnight. And then not only did it wasn't even just like a spark that fizzled out. You kept writing bangers and you kept staying good. And I think that affected her mentality. And I think she met certain people and she was like, she had this idea of like, oh, this is what a relationship is supposed to be like. But she removed the fact that she's one of the most famous musicians in the world.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't fit that mold anymore. And she set herself up for heartbreak. Not directly and not intentionally, but it just, she wasn't ready. She wasn't mature enough to be like, this is who I am now. This is the power that I have.
She's still making money.
And now like, she has experiences in her whole life that she can write, which is very pretty. Yeah, but she has all these experiences now that she can write about. But I think the thing is like she didn't make it because she has a really good voice or because she's a really good guitarist. And I think like that's the outlier. She made it because she's a good songwriter.
Yeah,
and there's
sure.
so many people in the music industry that can't write music. Like they might have a great voice, great musicians, but they can't write. Like that's huge. You know,
that's something I was gonna bring up earlier when we were both talking about like writing different genres of music. Is like I've always written different genres. And like sorry, I'm not trying to exclude you because you said metal only.
You go.
Like, I find my inspiration through other songs. It's not that like, it's not that I'm like gonna go out there and steal their lyrics, but I'm just like, well, okay, I really like the way this sounds, and then like,
you'll hear a one liner and you're like, whoa, that really resonated with me.
Yeah, and then like it kind of gets you thinking, or I mean, it will be something as simple as somebody will say something to me, and I will just manipulate it into lyrics.
Yeah. That's called life experience. That's how it works.
And then like my roller deck brain just of music just roller deck.
It's just like
all right, what kind of sound would this lyric go to? So then you write it to that sound.
Yeah,
that's just kind of how my brain works when I write music. So
yeah,
I can't really say when I write music because like I'm still writing music. I haven't put a song out in like Hunter. When was the last time we put out a song? 10 years ago. 11 years ago?
A long time.
Yeah. Like last time I put out music, it was with Hunter, and we were like teenagers.
Right.
But like, I still write music every single day.
You still talk about it every single day, like, and I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah. That's going to happen one of these days. I'm going to drop a little something.
But I think that's like, coming back full circle, like, that's what I'm looking for as a promoter or as just like a, even just as a consumer of music. I'm looking for the writing.
Yeah,
like we're working with some. Part of what we want to do is develop younger artists, and the scene. One of the big problems is the scene right now in Central PA is really in and out of 21 and over environments.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And there's 100%. So many. Like, if you're a high school in the area, who are you looking up to? That's local. Nobody. Like, I remember back in the day, I was looking up to local guys.
Oh,
you were looking up to an Early Ending.
I was looking at Early Ending.
Safari,
I'm looking up to,
so
yeah,
good.
Early Ending. Yes, dude. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I got you. Safari, so good.
Battle
Carousel
bands.
Kings.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Well, Carousel Kings for real. But also like so Rivers would be like an indie folk, you know, area. Judges, you guys remember Judges?
They did
a song. They were like a hardcore band.
Dude,
they did a song
I remember
called
Judges.
Blue. Yes, yeah.
I saw
dude.
The first time I saw them was at that little venue. I want to say it was somewhere in Mechanicsburg. It was like a little community center thing.
Yes, yeah.
Crux?
They did that. Was it called Blue?
No,
or something like that. Was it called Blue? The single they had. It was. It changed. It was so. It was like heavy. But super slow, almost like doom metal slow.
Oh,
and
what?
It just super melodic. And I was like, what is this, right? Like, I don't even know what happened to those guys, but like, they were like a local band, right? Like,
In Search of Words, I always looked up to them.
Yeah, close consideration. You guys know Close Consideration?
Do you guys know Imperialist? Yes.
Yeah,
really good.
Always
really good.
Them. Yep.
Yeah. So like, we had, because you know Champ was an underage venue.
Oh,
we
for
had
sure.
a venue where you could go and see bands that were like your buddies that mm-hmm. were killing it and were traveling and like doing these things.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like these kids now, the music, the money's better, and there's more venues, and we're not doing this stupid pay to play crap anymore. But
thank God.
But these high schoolers aren't going to bars to see bands, and so we have a couple of these young talented artists in Carlisle, Gettysburg. We're talking like 14, 15 years old. Like writing songs and like I can there's one girl's name I think her name's Maddie, She has a song called Liar on Spotify. It's fantastic.
Oh, I know Maddie.
So, yeah, so good.
Oh, wait. Doesn't she do a lot of work with Logan?
Yeah. Maybe. She works at Starbucks.
What's her name? Madison Ryan?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know her last name.
Okay. I'm pretty sure.
I saw her at a festival this past weekend, and I was like, what the heck?
Chris, am I correct there? Because Logan used to do a lot of work with her, right?
Yeah, but I don't know if it's the same person.
I'm pretty sure it's the same person.
There are a lot of Maddies out
there. Yeah, that's true. But, like, so this girl,
she's, like, pop as hell. Like, she's... Okay. She kills it. Like, I know who she is.
The girl that I'm talking about, the only song I know of hers is like, her and a guitar. Very simple.
Okay.
You know? But it's amazing. But, like, she doesn't... Like, you ask her, like, okay, so what bands do you look up to? And she's, like, all these, like, big label bands, which is great. But she doesn't know anybody local. And so, like, how can I, like... How can we, like, connect these people together? Like, how can you... You know, I want to help this person write a little bit. Maybe we'll record them in like our basement, and I'll like do harmony and bass or whatever, just to give them some kind of a full sound to like say, hey, this person is really like, try to develop that artist like as a writer.
That's
right,
so
now.
Much effort on your part.
Yeah.
Like, which is like,
it was fun.
Good lord.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's, it literally takes someone like you to be the person to do this, because like, you have a family.
You
have kids.
You enjoy it as well.
Like, and you, but yeah, you thoroughly enjoy it. And like, this is what I want to do. So it's not work to you. But almost anyone else in this industry, they'd be like, but how much am I getting paid to
do
this?
Right. And that's the problem. We've run into that locally a little bit too. But like, for the most part, like, this community is great because they support each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm telling you, there's like, this is place. The guy has his own property. He does his own thing. He had a festival. He does it once a year. And some of the best bands in like South Central PA come to this thing. And mm-hmm. they play there. They don't get paid.
You talking about the barn shows?
This is not in a barn, but okay, it's something like that.
Okay.
You're talking about the one like out in Lancaster, aren't you?
No, it's like, honestly, it's the middle of friggin' nowhere. But like,
well, that's the
best
place.
It was good.
But like, you're there and you're like, these guys are all just, it's just one band after another. Like, there's a band called Copper Beds. They're amazing. They sound like Allman Brothers. The band, Nick Staver is a great songwriter, and he's like a kind of like a blues, like slow country rock artist. There's just so much out there. And these guys are just like, they help each other. Like, they play each other's bands. The drummer, like, oh, my buddy, we don't have a gig tonight, so like, we'll drum for you. And like, that kind of community focus, if, you know, trying to connect all that and just push that out there. I mean, I don't know. It's a lot of work, but it's so fun to be, you're there and you're like, this is kind of what I live for, like, in a worldly sense. Like, I love this.
It's funny you bring that up, because it's like, you're talking about like the whole community in general. That's something we talked about like a few episodes ago, is how like, community has really faded in the world just in general. Like,
sure,
there's not so much community just in like a social structure standpoint.
Yeah, it's
but
true.
Like, and when you're losing that in social structure, you've already lost it in the music scene and everywhere else, and that's what kind of slowly bleeds into that. But
yeah,
like, I mean, if you can build that, it's not easy. Like, and to say it is easy is just, it's flat out wrong.
Right.
All,
yeah.
And it's insulting, because like, if you can build a community and that is your focus and that is what is important to you and what matters in your heart, like, that is extremely important to the world,
right,
in general, because just building that little community there in the music industry could spark a fire in somebody else. And they're like, okay, wow, like,
yes,
the music industry is back. Well, let's get the cafe industry back.
Yeah.
This back. And that's how a community in general is formed, because, I mean, obviously, community is a group of people, a group of different people, a group of different organizations. So just bringing that back, I mean, that's a part of, like, the American dream.
Yeah.
Is that community right there.
Yeah, yep. Working
it's
with
the music
community.
Industry. And that's,
yeah,
what is closest to, like, all of our hearts.
Right.
As musicians, as a local community. You know, Harrisburg, like, Carlisle would be kind of roped into, like, the Harrisburg,
yeah,
area.
Yeah, sure, the greater,
know,
Harrisburg area.
And it's like, we're slowly trying to build this community back that kind of fell apart.
Yeah, in some ways it did, yes, for sure.
And what you're doing is amazing. Like,
yeah,
you're building that community back. And that event you were just talking about.
Yeah, we're doing a benefit concert for Project Share. Project Share is a food bank, and like, they help with, you know, donating food to the hungry. I used to volunteer there in college. And so at Seven Dots Pizza Place in Carlisle, it's on 40 East Lowther Street.
Shout out.
Yeah, that's right. They have a backyard. And so we're going to do, like, an outdoor, like, you know, follow all the PA guidelines about COVID, like, try to be distant and wear your mask when you need to. But it's going to be outdoors, so, we can kind of gather, because,
yeah,
you're not inside. And I'm going to have Indian Summer Jars is going to play. I'm going to have Holland, who's a fantastic songwriter at Harrisburg. My band, The Gregory's, is going to play. A guy named Paul Wolf, who's a songwriter from out of town. He's going to travel up and play. And then a really, really cool pop-punk band called Real Face is going to be there. Like a positive pop punk vibe. I actually had them in Carlisle. They opened for Handguns and Idle Minds like before
Ooh,
COVID. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So like, they're really cool. Like, we're just gonna be out. They're all coming for free to hang out, and basically it's a $10 suggested donation at the door, and all that money I'm just I'm paying in is sweat equity. I'm just gonna give it all to Project Share. So as much as we can make, you know, BYOB, I think Bird's Nest Brewing Co. is going to do like a deal on like 4 packs. If you buy from them, they'll donate money to Project Share. You know?
I will be there.
Yeah, when
man.
Is this again?
It's on August 22nd. Starts at 5 p.m.
I'll be back in town, so I'm good.
Saturday evening, yep.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah, you should do it. Just
Dark Roy Daniel, about to do a podcast there. What's up?
You do it. That'd be
about,
awesome.
About to cover it.
Backstage passes?
Yes.
Yeah. The
stage.
Seriously?
I mean, like.
He said, wait, seriously?
I like,
you're on our show, but we're like, can you hook us up?
I like, I'll be building the stage, like, out of pallets that Saturday. So with that in mind, I'll create backstage passes at that point.
Just
I mean,
sweet.
Shear the wood down, make it into paper. We'll supply the bleach.
Okay, great. Yeah.
And the lamination.
Power quill.
Yeah. And the thing is, I'm gonna set up a bunch of like donated tents, like canopies. Mm. It's kind of like a bring your own, like a lawn chair, like bring your own beer, bring your own chair, hang out. This, I mean, Seven Dots is the best pizza in the area, so you can buy pizza there and eat it if you want.
I love pizza.
It's so good. But like, it's gonna be a totally laid back. Like, unless a hurricane comes through, like these canopies are gonna be out. We're gonna play. Like, everybody's gonna be undercover. The band's gonna be undercover.
Shine,
we're doing this thing. Yeah.
Raider Shine, Darker with Daniel's gonna be their cover.
That's right, baby.
We got them. We got the mobile technology. We got the Chris, we got the technology to do this, right?
He's not nodding or shaking.
No.
Chris,
okay.
Chris, do we have the technology
cell
to
phones.
Do this?
You got cell phones.
We got cell phones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris,
we'll be there.
It's gonna be cool.
That's
be
what
cool.
I
want to
hear.
Yeah.
We'll be there.
Last
with
year,
bells on.
Last year I did one for a local like family life center where they try to help with like it's like a pregnancy center as well as like helping like young families, like families without dads, families without, like just I've donated my girls' clothes there, like so they can give girls' clothes to people who need them.
That's awesome.
And like so we did that last year. I think we raised a little over $1,000 for them.
Wow.
And like it's not a ton, but like it was definitely a cool.
It's definitely a
ton. Nothing.
It was great.
You did something for your
community. Yeah, it was
man.
Fun.
That's amazing.
So fun. So like that's what we're doing August 22nd. And the Gregors are gonna have to practice because we don't play a lot. So
how did you find this? How are you find this guy? This
I've
guy's
known,
here.
I've known him for.
This yeah. guy is here in the
minute.
Music industry.
We need to hang out more.
Trying to break down the walls. Like he's like, oh, like we're just local musicians. Like, let's just be musicians together. Let's just embrace the music. He's like, oh, and like, let's be a good person and community involvement. Like, let's work together. Brett.
Hey, man.
I would love to have you on again. My
Dude,
God.
Absolutely. You're a stand-up guy. We are running out of time. Is there any last thing you want to call out or anything like
shout
that?
Shout out.
Sure.
Plug everything you want.
Yeah,
plug it
okay, I'll plug it. I'll be shameless plugs. Look at my band, The Gregorys. On Facebook, Spotify, Instagram, we have an EP from 2019.
I did check out their music video
music
on the
video.
Break. Almost made me cry.
Great music video.
We are like it's such a harmony driven folk acoustic soft rock kind of vibe and all original stuff. We got an EP from last year, so that's one. Two is I write my own stuff too. You can look me up on Bandcamp, Brett Rutter. Anything that like doesn't like make it to the Gregorys gets like ousted to like Brett's solo stuff. So there's that.
Awesome.
And then like
it's recycled.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then, non-existent records. We're trying to grow. We said, we're just a community focused. We're not really a label. We're just fans. We're trying to push music out from like this bubble in Pennsylvania anywhere we can using our contacts. So, following us on social media is huge because we have a bigger voice than. So those are the big. This is the big three.
And for all of our listeners that didn't get all the information, we will plug all the links,
sweet.
all the pertinent information that you need in the comments and the description of this video. But Brett, man,
dude
I'm like
fun.
I'm super happy that I got to meet you tonight, man. Like
yeah,
I had no
yeah.
idea who
I
you were before
too.
Tonight.
It's possible. And Isaac. Is
yeah,
that
we
name?
Should bring Isaac on. If I can, I mean, I could get Isaac. I get a Jake. One of those. I name one of those guys. They'd be have lots.
If you get
about.
Jake on here, just
yeah,
done.
Yeah. Well, it'd be cool
know,
to get Jake
know,
on
booking because like.
Yeah,
COVID really has us kind of screwed up with their scheduling. So like,
well, we can get
you come
there.
Back on sooner rather than later. If it works
in yeah.
your schedule, let me know.
I mean, will. If we can get Isaac and me on and do more like local music stuff, but then if we get Jake and I on and Jake can talk about Promise Breaker a little bit. That'd be
ooh,
sick.
Yeah. I'm about to get Jake and
Tyler
on.
Oh man,
ooh.
Dude, that'd be a party.
Wombo
be a party.
Combo.
Be
that's
a party.
All I'm saying.
Yeah.
Tyler,
beam, Tyler's
we're
out of control,
you out.
Man. That's right.
Yeah, right. So I've been trying to get a hold of you, Tyler. August 22nd, though. That's when this
August
22nd.
Yep. If you're there, August 22nd, it'd be awesome.
What's the address?
40 East Lowther Street, Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Yeah, dude.
40 the, East Lowther Street,
that's right.
Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Seven Dots Public Pizza Place. Best pizza in Central Pennsylvania.
And you might see Darker with Daniel
it.
There doing a live
boom.
Coverage.
Is it like Dave Portnoy, like pizza, Barstool Pizza review worthy? As I'm wearing the Portnoy,
I didn't know Portnoy.
Shirt,
No, it's you think of the best pizza you've had, and then just like, what if somebody like made this better? That's 7 Ounce Pizza. It's just amazing.
Okay,
it's so good. Right. Yeah,
how late are they open today?
I love pizza.
Dude, I don't know. I'm not usually there like
do
late.
Time? Do we have time?
You might.
I don't think we do.
Probably not.
I don't think we do.
Oh yeah, probably not.
All right, well, it's getting pretty late.
No,
we're gonna wrap this one up.
All right,
thank you so much for coming out, man.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
We'll definitely talk off air about rescheduling.
Sweet. Most fun I ever had.
That's the best compliment. Oh my God. Thank you so much. And a quick shout out to our sponsor, Rockmill Industries. Definitely check them out online. Rockmillink.com. Rockmill.
They're awesome.
Thank you.
They're awesome.
They're your one-stop shop for any sort of local business, musician, anything like that. Screen printing, embroidery, obviously musicians, recording, lessons. Whatever you want, they have it here.
And if they don't have it, they'll make it.
Yeah, they will. They
exactly.
will. They make everything.
And that's absolutely true. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here today.
It's true.
Please go out there and sponsor them or go out there and support them to support us. And thank you very much for listening.
We'll see you next
week.
See you next week.
Peace.